I was asked if I wanted to speak. I normally don't speak on Wednesdays anymore, but Pastor Joel was gracious to ask me if I wanted to speak the last Wednesday of the year, and I think he knew what I was going to say. I would definitely wanted to preach to you tonight, and I've got a wonderful message that I believe will be helpful to you. Somebody say helpful. Come on, somebody say really helpful. Not that you really need help, but actually the truth is that it goes right along with my sermon. We all, really need help. And so I thank God that you're listening. Could you do me a favor? And I noticed we were able to take a little time off during Thanksgiving. And so I was so blessed on that Sunday that we were gone to still be part of what we call Hope at Home. And so we had a great couple of days. It was so relaxing. It was so great. But something that I noticed, okay, and so I want to talk to you about this. If you're watching at home, could you do me a favor? Tell everybody around you to be quiet for the next 35 minutes, okay? And don't get anything to eat right now. Hopefully you've already gone to the bathroom. There's just something that happens when you're at home that I need to just, and I've been meaning to tell you guys this for a while, but I kind of didn't really notice it until that Sunday. And it was more me than anything else. You know what? I get up and, you know, I got some chips and then went to the bathroom and then, you know what I mean? Just, whoa, wait a minute, Hoss. You know, I had to tell myself, wait a minute, Hoss. Hey, we're having church. You know, I focus in on the word because the word is what is going to change your life. You missed a good chance to say amen. The word is what's going to change your life. And so if you're at home, be with me. Be all in. Be intentional. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Be intentional today because I've got a word that is going to bless you. But Satan comes immediately to steal the word that's sown. He wants to come immediately to try to get you distracted here or there. All this, you know what? Don't be distracted. You be focused tonight. And it'll be a blessing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And if this seems familiar to you, it's because that was our... is going to be our chapter. Let's see, when is that going to be our chapter? On Friday. So it's coming up. But I want to go to it today because tonight, because I want you to see some things here that will be a blessing to you. My sermon title is this: You Are God's Chosen. You are God's chosen. Somebody say, I'm God's chosen. And let me just say it right up front. You're not God's chosen because you have so much wealth. You're not God's chosen because you're so handsome or so pretty. You're not God's chosen because you're really, really, really smart. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just telling you. That's not why you're God's chosen. You're not God's chosen because you come from some, fancy family, some family of nobility. That's not why God chose you. You're not chosen because you went to Stanford or Harvard or Yale, some prestigious school. That's not why you're chosen.
but you are chosen. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. They were engaged. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Interesting, because Mary has this conversation with the angel, and the angel speaking to her, and the angel saying, "You're blessed among women. You're chosen. There's a lot of people that I could have chosen for this assignment." How many know this was a pretty important assignment? Can you say amen? And I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but one of the things I want you to get tonight, listen, this isn't just a casual message. This is a message, the last message of the year that I'm giving as your pastor to you. And it's a very important message. And just like Mary had a very important assignment, I don't know why it is. You know, it is why, and you've heard the joke, I've said it many times, but it's absolutely true. It's why hair beauticians stay in business. Why is that? Because people with short hair, or people with short hair, they want long hair, right? You don't want people with long hair, they want short hair. People with curly hair, they want straight hair. And people with straight hair, they want curly hair. And we take that mentality and we bring it into the callings of our life. And we think, man, I want to be like that person. I wish I had that anointing. I never forget this. I used to love when we would go down to TBN. And we used to go down to TBN and it was a fundraiser. But not only was it a fundraiser, it was such an awesome thing to just hang out and listen to the word all night. It was such a wonderful thing. How many remember when we used to go to TBN? It was such a blessing. Well, I remember one of the nights that we went, and it was so awesome. You know, we never went to TBN, and it was a dud. You know, I never came home and said, I guess it wasn't that good tonight. Every time we went, it was so awesome. Well, duh, of course, every time we go, it's going to be awesome. There's preaching of the word. The word is always awesome. But I remember this time, it was just a spectacular night, and they had so many gifted people. There was one of my favorite, Mr. T. How many remember Mr. T? And Mr. T, I think, was the first one up, and he was, you know, how he's strong and how he speaks and, you know what, kind of in your face. Well, when he was speaking, he had everything written out. He had like 8 pages and he just read it. But I'm telling you what, it was powerful. And when he got done, I thought, you know what? I'm going to start writing everything out. That was good. I'm going to do like Mr. T. And then the next guy got up, and I think it was Sam Rodriguez. And he just has this, he didn't have it written out. I mean, he had some notes, but he wasn't reading it. He had this style, and he's on fire, and he's, you know what, a little bit flamboyant and bilingual, and I thought, man, I won't be like him. And then last but not least, man, he just brung it on home. What is his name? Jonathan Kahn came, and oh my God, and Jonathan was so deliberate in his speech. And he, man, his style is so awesome because he's so deliberate in what he says, but his words are picked very particularly, and he's prophetic, and he'll say some things that will just rock you to the core. And when it all got done, I was like, I want to be like him. No, I want to be like him. No, I want to be, no, no, no. Now I really know. I want to be like him. I mean, no, if there's somebody came after him, I probably would have said the same thing. But what I'm telling you today is Mary's calling was an incredible calling. She was called to birth the Son of God. And what a wonderful job she did. What a wonderful job she did. But that's not your calling. Right? It's pretty obvious. Hey? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pastor Joe said amen. But what we need to do is recognize that nobody else is called to do what you're called to do. And when I got all done as I was driving home, you know what I really thought? I thought, you know what? I don't want to be an imitation of Mr. T. Right? I don't want to act like Sam Rodriguez. I don't want to act like that. Not because that's not something, not because he's not awesome, but because, you know what, that's not me. See, if I'm acting like Jonathan Kahn, and this is going to sound a little egotistical, but I don't mean to be, but what happens to Drew? What happened to Pastor Drew? Come on, get ready to say amen. I mean, no, there's only one Pastor Drew. Amen. And if I'm not acting like that, see, that's my sweet spot. That's where my anointing is. My anointing isn't to act like Mr. T. My anointing is to walk in the power and authority and the understanding and the anointing that God has called me to walk in. And if I'm trying to do someone else's deal, then I can't do what I'm called to do. Amen. Now let me say a side note. This is really, really, really important. I'm not sure why. I think a lot of it has to do with ego. But learn to be secure in what God has called you to do, no matter what that position is. Because that position might not be as senior pastor. And let me say this. You have a warped perception of what it takes to be a senior pastor. Understand this, that the best among us will be the best servant among us. That's what the Bible said. And so I think sometimes we get a misunderstanding of the kingdom of God. And let me calibrate you today, tonight. The reality is, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to be the greatest servant. And that person, we might not know who their name is. And we probably don't know who their name is. No, we're in the line.
And I'm not saying this because these are awesome, awesome, awesome men. I just say this to prick your understanding. And we're in the line, and God has made the first last and the last first, and he has put that order. And so we're in some kind of order in heaven, and we see Billy Graham, and Billy Graham is somewhere halfway in the line. We think, oh my goodness, that was Billy Graham. And we see Joyce Myers, and she is behind Billy Graham. We think, oh, that's Joyce Myers. But she's not in the front of the line either. And we see, you know what, Charles Stanley. And we go, why isn't he higher in the list too? And as we go up to the front of the line, we see people. We don't know any of these people. And we have a conversation with somebody in the top 10, and we ask them, and we say, well, what did you do to build the kingdom of God? And he says, I'm not sure why I'm here. I don't understand why God placed me here. I was just a janitor of a small little church in Kentucky or Wisconsin or Pico Rivera. But let me tell you what, God knows. And so I'm just saying, calibrate your understanding to the Word of God. And Mary doesn't understand her placement. Look at it. Look at verse 29. But when she saw him, this angel just told her, you are blessed among women. But verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. She doesn't understand what's going on. She, like that janitor towards the front of the line in heaven, she's not even understanding. See, listen to me. Part of the reason why they don't understand what's going on is because they're humble people. Amen. See, the people towards the back of the line are going to be looking ahead and going, wait, God, you must have made a mistake. Because I don't understand. I mean, maybe I'm not supposed to be towards the front, but certainly, God, I'm not supposed to be back here. Right? And she's troubled. She doesn't understand. What is the angels just told her? The angels just told her, let me tell you what, you're blessed among all kinds of women. You're blessed. And she doesn't get it. And I believe that one of the reasons she doesn't get it is because she is walking in this high quality of humility. Look at verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor before God. He keeps up with, this is your calling. This is what your God, that God has called you to do. This is what God has chosen you to do. God, out of all the women, he's chosen you, Mary. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? For I don't know a man. I mean, Mary knew enough to know that she couldn't be pregnant unless she was intimate with a man. And at that point in time, she had never been intimate with a man. So she's saying, I'm not sure I understand what's happening. I don't get what you're saying.
Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary, this isn't going to be a natural birth. This is not going to be a natural pregnancy. This is going to be supernatural. Mary, the bloodline has to be pure. There is no man that could pregnate you. It would jack up the whole plan. You have to, this birth is going to be from a virgin, and it's you. Now listen to what angel says next, because this is so interesting. Watch what he says next. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. She's already been married. Oh, by the way, you know what? How many know sometimes good news comes in rivers sometimes? You know what? And so she's got some new good news. Oh my goodness, this is going to happen to you. But then she's, you know, the angel's like, oh, as long as I'm telling you, let me tell you something else. And your cousin, Elizabeth, you know what, who they used to say that she's barren, guess what? She's going to have a baby. Woo! How many know this is a good day for Mary? Watch this. Then, watch this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Somebody say, nothing is impossible with God. I quote this often. I said, going to say it when I go over. Anyway, I'll say it like this. This is an incredible passage that we quote all the time. With God, nothing is impossible. We quote it all the time. But how many knew this is where it was couched, right here in Luke chapter 1? And it's in reference, watch this, to Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was old and her husband was old. Flip on over, you're almost there. Flip on over to the 18th verse. Chapter 1 still. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old and my wife is well advanced in years. How is this going to happen? I'm old and she's old. But the angel tells Mary, check this out. Your cousin is pregnant and she's been called barren. And then he says, with God, all things are possible. Now, here's what's cool. And somebody say, I'm chosen. Somebody say, I am chosen. No, Mawa. Somebody say, Mawa. See, that's what you need to get. See, we think other people are chosen. We think other people are more talented. We think other people can do it. No. You are chosen. God chose you. You are special. You have been designed for a certain specific thing to fulfill, and you need to understand God, who is perfect, knows even with your imperfections, even with your imperfections, he still chose you. Amen. Yeah, but I've had a problem with pornography. He still chose you. Yeah, but I have a problem with anger. He still chose you. Yeah, but I got a problem with, you know what, he still chose you. Yeah, but I used to be, he still chose you. God knows everything. And he says, you are the one I want for that job. You're exactly who I want. Amen. Are you learning something today? You think Mary was perfect? You think she didn't have any issues? No, 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 no. We all have issues. How many know Mary had some issues? But God says, you're the one. Here's what I love about this passage. There's a lot of things I love about this passage of scripture. But here's what I love. Look what watch this. When the angel says, with God all things are possible, if you look at it hermeneutically, he's talking about Elizabeth. He's not talking about Mary. Look at it. Read it. He's talking about Elizabeth. But notice Mary's response. Somebody say, my response to the word of God is critical. Listen to me. Your response to the word of God is critical to whether you're going to fulfill what you've been chosen to do. Listen, there are a lot of people who, because of bad choices in their life, will not fulfill what God has called them to do. Somebody say, that's not going to be me. So Mary, the angel is talking about this situation with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and her husband are old, but then the angel says, but with God all things are possible. And then watch what Mary says. Mary, in essence, says, hey, me too. Watch this. Look at this verse. So cool. Then Mary said, behold, that means look, the maidservant of the Lord. Who she's talking about? She's talking about herself. This angel is saying, in relation to this supernatural thing that God did with Elizabeth, and he says, with God all things are possible. And Mary says, oh, hey, behold the servant of the Lord. Is that awesome? Hey, Gabriel, look at me. I want to be used too. I want that supernatural power of God manifest in my life too. I want to be used of God too. Amen. Watch what she says. Then Mary said, behold, that's look. Hey, angel. Whoa. Behold the servant, the maid servant of the Lord. Who's the maid servant of the Lord? She's saying, look at me. I am. I want to be used of God. Let it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Oh, my goodness. Say, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. How many of us, when God speaks to us his plan, and I'm not saying that we know his plan totally. We've got a bunch of young people here. Let me talk to young people. Just do this. You don't have to know. You know, we want to know everything. We want to know, oh, what am I going to do? Give me the whole plan, God. Can I have a piece of ice on that? Maybe two. We want to know a whole plan. Hey, young people. Just be faithful to what God has put in front of you. Your sweet spot is for you to be faithful to what God has called you to do today. If you're faithful to do what God has called you to do today, then you get promoted for tomorrow. If you can't do, and this is where most people are, this is where many young people are, this is where all kinds of people are. They want the big contract. And God won't give you the big contract until you show yourself to be faithful to the little contract. I'm preaching way better than you're saying amen. If you're faithful in the little things, then God is able to promote you to the bigger things. Does that make sense? And You know what? Yeah, but I want to be, I get that. But refer to what I originally said, to be great in the kingdom of God. See, listen, figure out whose kingdom you want to be great in. You know, if you want to go to Hollywood and figure out all their stuff, and if you want to, you can't serve two masters. And the kingdom of God isn't like that kingdom. Stop trying to put their stuff into our kingdom. It doesn't belong here. And God, and you know what? And listen, maybe you can get worked up and fake all that stuff out for a little while, and maybe you'll have some people believing you. But let me tell you what, it's going to go to nothing very, very quickly in the kingdom. Amen? Does that make sense to anyone? So just do what God has called you to do. Just be faithful in what little God has called you to be faithful for. Bring excellence. I remember years and 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 years. I didn't say months and years. We'd be in the North Sanctuary. And I was in my little office that was really a hallway. The design is crazy. But anyway, I was in that little office. And you know what? And I would have my sermon studied, and I would study, and I would study, and I would study, and I'd hear the worship music, and I'd come out, and I don't know, you know what I mean? Because, you know, like, you know, duh, we had, you know, 35 people in the church, or, you know what, if everybody showed up, you know what I mean? I don't know what I was thinking, but I'd come out and there'd be only 28 people there this Sunday. And I had an opportunity. Somebody say, you have an opportunity. What do you have an opportunity to do? You have an opportunity to walk by faith, or you have an opportunity to walk by sight. What would you do? I'd thank God for the 28 people that showed up. I thank God for the 28 people that, you know what, could have been in bed too, but they got up in the morning. And they, you know what, they brushed their teeth and they got their kids ready and they showed up. Hallelujah. I thank God for, I was too busy thanking God for what I had to be depressed on what I didn't have. Amen. And I acted like I was preaching to 1,038. Amen. See, we've got to be faithful in what God has called us to do. We've got to recognize. Are you kidding? You know what message I had? I had a message. Listen to me. I had a message from God. You think those 28 or 38 people aren't important? It was for those 28 or 38 people that Jesus Christ shed his blood for them. What do you think? I was too much of a, you know what, big, listen, you can choose to be a victor, or you can choose to be a victor, a victim or a victor, figure it out, but you can't be both. And I could have come out and been depressed, and I'm saying I had an opportunity to go, what? Ah. I wouldn't give myself that opportunity. Would have cost me too much. And after I got done with the service, you know what? And after I greeted all 28 or 38 people, I put on my smock, my Albertson smock, and I get in the car and go to work. And as I was going to work, Satan would come at me and start to criticize me and make fun of me. Because what kind of pastor? What kind of pastor? You know, at whatever I was, at 40-something years old, still working at Albertsons. I'd say, let me tell you what kind of pastor is still working at Albertsons. One that's called to hundreds and thousands. And they're going to come,
and they're going to come from the north, and they're going to come from the south, and they're going to come from the east, and they're going to come from the west. So you got to figure out your calling in your life. And if your calling, you know, if it's got to be all perfect and all, you know what, you know, some kind of Hollywood attitude of what it's going to be like, you don't understand. You know, like God said one time, you don't understand what spirit you're of. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of servants. That's the kingdom. And so it was my pleasure to be able to serve those people. And if that meant, you know what serving those people meant for me at that point in time? It meant getting in my car and putting on a smock and going to Albertsons. That's what it meant. And if that's what it meant, then that's what it meant. So you can become a victor or you can become a victim, but you can't be both. And I choose to say, I thank God for this job that is helping Tamara and I be able to pastor that church. You see what a different perspective I had? And see, if you're going to take Satan's lies, he's going to be able to drag you around by your nose. And he's going to drag you to a place that you don't want to go. Let me tell you what. You have been chosen. And Mary was chosen. And when the angel says, woo-hoo-hoo, referring to her cousin, with God, all things are possible. Mary's like, hey, wait a minute. What about me? I'm a servant of God. Behold me. Let me tell you, what you've told me, angel, is absolutely impossible without God. But let it be unto me as you have spoken. As God has spoken. Pastor, I don't think there's going to be thousands where you are. Hey, that's why I really don't care what you think. I didn't say I didn't love you. I didn't say I won't build you up. I'm not saying I won't hang out with you. But I can't afford, I will protect my heart with all diligence, for out of that flow the issues of life. I can't afford to listen to your opinion on where we're going as a church. I can't afford it. It costs me too much. And thank God, aren't you glad for Mary's example to us tonight? Is Mary's example just like, oh my goodness. I read that, I was like, this is awesome. How many know you can see things in the Word of God, fresh things every single day that you've never seen before? I was like, oh man, Mary is a bad dude. Well, she's not a bad dude, but you don't understand. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Go down to verse 45. Go down to verse... Let's see where I want to go. Well, let's go down to the verse after 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into a country, hill country, with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias. And greeted Elizabeth. That was her cousin. Zacharias was Elizabeth's husband. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, some pretty cool supernatural stuff going on. Mary says, hey! And John the Baptist is like, whoa, rock out, man, that's Jesus.
Or that's Mary, right? That's what happened. It's like, whoa. Then she spoke out aloud with a loud voice and said, then Martha recognizes Mary's calling. Watch this. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me, the mother of the Lord, should come to me? Just a humble young lady. Watch this. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, soon as I heard it, the baby leaped in my womb. John the Baptist is like, behold, the Lamb of God's here. Right? Well, I don't know who you said that, but we'll ask him when we get to heaven. But he was excited. But watch this, verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Remember I told you, some people will never fulfill the calling that they're called. Not because God doesn't want them blessed. Not because God doesn't want to do great things in their life. But because they don't have the humility to say, God can do it, and God can use me. You know what the Bible says in the last end? Men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And it describes these men, and as it describes these men, it describes people who are very self-absorbed. Listen to me. I don't know who I'm speaking to at home. Listen to me. You've got to, in this world of egotists, of self-absorbed people, of selfies and iPhones and iPads and just this complete thought of, you know, me. You know, it trips me out how whatever it was in 1962 or whenever he got elected, that president who was running for president says this. President Kennedy says this on the trying to be elected. He says, "Don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." Oh my goodness! If that would have happened, you know what? With any politician running for president nowadays, they wouldn't even stand a chance. They'd be mocked and laughed at, and nobody would, well, some people would vote for them, but how many know very little people would vote? Listen to the people running for president, and you'll get an understanding of where our society is. They're saying, oh, we'll give you this for free. No, we'll give you this for free. No, we'll give you this for free. No, I'll give you this for free. What's that about? Let me tell you what it's about. It's catering to a society of people that are self-absorbed. That's what it's about. Can I speak the truth to somebody? That's what it's about. And that's completely opposite from the kingdom of God. Completely opposite. But what we have to get down to is a reality that we get out of our self-absorption. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where we're saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. The calling on my life isn't because I'm so smart. It's not because I'm so pretty. It's not because I'm so handsome. It's not because I'm so intelligent. It's not because I come from this rich heritage of I've. No, it's not that. It's actually just the opposite. Hallelujah. It's God is looking, not by might, not or by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. God is looking God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Elizabeth and her husband. Chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John." Why did this happen? Because humble people are willing, humble old people are willing to say, with God all things are possible. Not the prettiest, not the most handsome, not the smartest, not the most intelligent, not the most intellectual, not the most articulate, not the most sharpest. But the ones who are to say, "I'm called. God has called me. I don't know why God's called me. Doesn't make any sense to me. But angel, don't leave. Behold me. I'm your servant. I want to be used of God. Just like you said. Not by might, nor by power. I'll stay humble. I'll do what you asked me to do. I'll go where you asked me to go. I'll say what you asked me to say. But don't overlook me. I want to be used by God. And I don't care what I did in the past. Because what God has called me to do, listen, you got to come to this reality. God is smarter than you. And if he's called you to do it, then just step out in faith and say, "Bless God. You know what? Put your shoulders back. Put your chest out. Comb your hair the best you can." Amen. You know, study the best you can. Try to be as sharp as you can. You know, try to do the best you can. But recognize that God is going to use you not because of your ability, but because of his ability. And all you have to do is just stay out of the way. Although, you know, Mary's example is critical. And the reason I bring this is, blessed is she who believed. She didn't say, you know, there's so many, oh God, I can't. Stop it. You think you're walking in humility? You're not walking in humility. You know what that is? That's a false pride is what it is. This has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God using. I'll close with this. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians. I don't have time to read as much as I wanted to, but I'll at least read you a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 24. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Go back up to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. All these two skinny jeans, gray poupa, ooh la la, I'm so smart. No, you're not so smart. God says, you know what? You think it's foolishness. You know what? You think it's a stumbling block. But there's some other people. Say, I'm one of the other people. But to those who are what? Come on. How do we start off this Wednesday night? I am chosen. But for those who are called, God says this, you know what? To us, both Jews and Greeks, we don't care. You know what? God has chosen all kinds of misfits. Amen. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. If God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he who's inside you than he that's in the world. The strength of God is the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man. See, all we need is God. It's all we need. All we need is God. Ya-da-ba-da-da-da. All we need is God. God. God is all we need. The reason why I wanted to end this year with this message is because it's such a great way to start this next year. On our knees, humbled out, saying, God, if you don't do it, I can't do it. But with you, I can do it. If that's you, and I believe it is, God is speaking a word that'll change your life forever. Let's start 2021 right. Do you humble out and pray with me? God, I pray that you'd help us to not allow our past to dictate our future. That we would look unto you, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. God, help us that as we go to bed tonight, we would just say a simple prayer like Mary prayed. God, I behold your servant. Let it be unto me as you have said it in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.